Hi there, welcome to another edition of Tuesdays with Corey. Today, I have the wonderful guest, Sean, here talking about Pivotal and Cloud Foundry usage on Azure.
Yep.
It's going to be really exciting. So tell us, what do you guys show us today?
Yeah, so for those who don't know, Cloud Foundry is a cloud application platform, allows you to build and operate cloud-native applications. And there's two forms of it that we support in Azure. It's an open source, fully open source project, so we support the basic open source version.
Of Cloud Foundry,
And then there are multiple enterprise distributions out there in the wild, and the one that we support is Pivotal Cloud Foundry, which is, we think of as sort of the leading Cloud Foundry offering. So that's what I'm going to be showing today, is how you can run Pivotal Cloud Foundry on top of Azure.
Very cool, and then some app deployments and management and just all the goodies around that, is that right? Okay, great.
Exactly.
So why don't you kick us off and show us here what you're doing on your Mac here.
So let's start with looking at what Cloud Foundry looks like in Azure. So it's a platform as a service built on top of our infrastructure as a service. So you deploy the platform on top of a bunch of virtual machines. So you see inside the Azure portal here, I've got a bunch of VMs inside my resource group that are running my Cloud Foundry installation. So now that I've got that platform set up, I'm going to go and deploy an application. So like all good demos, we start at a blank command line.
Of course, that's the best.
This is where the hotness begins.
This is it right here.
What I've got here is a Java application. So we think of Cloud Foundry in the context of Azure as being a great place to run Java microservice-based applications.
Yeah, totally.
So I've got a simple Java application here. And what I'm going to show is just how simple it is to push this into Azure and make it publicly accessible.
Called Music.
Yep. It's called Spring Music. So I'm going to do cf push and give the application a name. And that's literally all I have to do to take that application, push it up into Cloud Foundry, and make it available publicly.
So, doesn't for Java type application like this, doesn't it normally need to pull down library? Like what? Like you know, find the right versions of libraries and middleware and so on.
So there's two things really happening here. The first thing you'll see.
Sorry, I got you off track and you wanted to show something.
Okay. This is exactly what we want to talk about. So the first thing we'll see is it's going to go through a process called staging, which is basically where it's inspecting the application that I'm trying to push. It's detecting this Java application, determining what its dependencies are. And it'll go and pull down all of the necessary pieces to be able to run that as a standalone application inside of Cloud Foundry.
I see.
And it'll create what it calls a droplet. You can think of a droplet as basically like a container. And so in a way, Cloud Foundry is kind of like the hipster container platform. It was doing containers before they
were cool. Right? I see. I listened to that band before they existed.
Yeah, exactly. So in fact, you'll see in the output, you'll see creating.
Droplet there.
Yeah. You know, destroying container, creating containers. And so at the end of all this, after just a couple seconds, that droplet has been created. It's got everything that it needs. It's now been deployed out to somewhere inside the Cloud Foundry installation. So I as a developer, don't have to think about where it's actually being deployed. It just says, push it,
it's
put
live,
it somewhere,
it's
and get it set up and running.
Very good. And it's just like that. Just
and it's
done.
Also created an endpoint for that application automatically that will be routed through the load balancer.
I see. To make the application accessible.
To make it accessible. So there you go.
Oh, look at this.
Right away, it's been.
Is this your? Are these your musical choices here?
No. This is. A sample.
It looks like your style. That's why I just,
Nirvana, some of these are good. Can't go wrong with Fleetwood Mac, right?
Okay, that's true.
Okay, so I've got basically now a single instance of this application up and running in the cloud, right? But as the demand for Bruce and Fleetwood Mac.
So that's a single object. So it's basically all the requests going that single.
Exactly. Going through that load balancer to that single.
I see where you're going with this.
Do you?
Well, I don't know. I have no idea. I think he's going to scale it.
Yes. You called it. We didn't even prep this. I've got that single instance, and in fact, you can see that here that there's just zero. We're zero indexed, and so there's only one instance of that application. So I'll go ahead and scale that Spring Music application and turn it into two instances. And if I now again go through the Spring Music, you'll see that one of them is running and another one is starting up. So this is a way that I can see it through.
Does this also increase the availability as well? So like if one gets in trouble, then the load balancer for Cloud Foundry will automatically redirect?
Absolutely right, and so I could see the instances that were starting up there inside the command line. I can also see them here inside the apps manager, which is one of the tools that you get. Remember, I talked about how there's the OSS version of Cloud Foundry, and then there's the Pivotal distribution.
Yep.
The Apps Manager is one of the tools that you get as part of the enterprise distribution of Cloud Foundry.
So it makes it easier to manage.
Nice web UI on top of it. And so you see that application, two instances of it running it. And I can do the same type of scaling operation.
And like a good sort of enterprise conference, it sort of shows you the operations that have been run, so you can go do an audit trail. Like, why did this break? Oh, look what Sean did.
Yep, exactly.
Example.
You can blame me. And I can actually scale down, do the same type of operation here inside of the app.
Very
manager.
Cool.
Now, you mentioned enterprise. Enterprises love Cloud Foundry. And one of the reasons that they do is that it has this notion of orgs and spaces. Mm-hmm. So a lot of large enterprises want to have a single platform that they can have all of their different development teams that are building hundreds, if not thousands, of applications.
You've got your marketing team, you've got your line of business team,
they all want to deploy, they want to have some centralization about how they do those deployments, but still have isolation between those.
And perhaps share resources, right? Because you don't want to have to go spin up one of these in every single freaking location that you may need this, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, got it.
And so you'll see that here, the notion of an organization. I'm inside this mm-hmm. Awesomely named demo org.
Very clever.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And within that demo org, the administrator for this Cloud Foundry installation has decided to provide 10 gigabytes of memory quota. And so the admin has decided for this organization, this is the amount of memory that they can use within that installation.
Got it.
And you can decide, depending on the needs.
So you set that quota that this, you can't go above that, and if you do, whoosh,
yeah, your application won't
death.
Deploy.
Yeah.
Or death, yes. Yeah. I mean, it's up to the organization, right?
They can
decide.
The punishment can come.
Policy is...
Most people just say block the app. I say death to the submitter.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. You have to read the T's and C's of your enterprise mm-hmm. agreement mm-hmm. before you you go on.
Just always be careful.
Yes.
That's what I always say.
Exactly.
Computers are dangerous.
So within that organization, then, I can create what are called spaces,
sure.
which is basically the environments that you'd want to use as you're going through like a CI/CD pipeline, right? So here I've got a dev environment and then production, and so I would deploy my applications through those.
I see. So it allows you to do some of the subdivision even within those groups.
That's right.
To allow you to manage it.
And even within here, you can create quotas.
Quotas within that. And it's not like a social network. Wasn't Spaces like a social network aspect too, or something?
Let's just not talk about that.
Was that a Microsoft product?
Yeah,
I think it was.
MSN
yeah.
Spaces.
Uh-oh.
It was hot for a while.
Was it?
It was.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
You were a big fan. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good.
So the next thing I want to show you is kind of building on top of that. Cloud Foundry is associated with the pattern known as 12-factor apps. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I have.
A Heroku pattern that was developed. One of the ideas behind 12-factor apps is that you split out your state from your processes, right? So you have stateless processes and then backing services that provide your state. Which is great, except you still want to make it easy to be able to connect to those backing services, right? And not create a whole lot of work for the developer to do that connection.
Right. It's good to build your app that way. So you get that subdivision, but you don't want to make that super hard to do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So Cloud Foundry has the notion of service brokers,
yes.
Which is basically a way to discover, create, and bind to those backing services from my application processes.
This is super easy then.
Yeah, exactly. And so you can get service brokers from all different companies. We in Azure have built our own service broker to expose some of our services, some of our first party services. In fact, all of this is available in GitHub because that's how we roll these days.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see the full Azure service broker here.
A spaces of the future, if you will.
Yes, exactly. Probably a more successful one.
Absolutely.
And so you can see here the services that we've already added support for, so storage and Redis SQL.
DocumentDB, yep.
And we're looking to add more to this, so if people are interested in other Azure services being able to connect to their Cloud Foundry applications, we're very open to feedback on what we should add to this list. But the one I'm going to show today is adding a Redis cache to a node application.
Yeah.
But actually, quickly before I do that, I want to show, kind of going back to this notion of orgs and spaces and the way that you can subdivide control. Here I'm in an administrator command line. Mm-hmm. So within here, I can look at the set of services that are available inside the entirety of my Cloud Foundry installation. And so you'll see here basically all of the different services that we've provided from Azure, and there's some others that are from other providers. But this is the entirety of what's available. So again, DocDB, Redis Cache, SQL DB, and so on.
I see.
Each of those has a set of plans that are available.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is if you look at the orgs column.
Only a subset are available.
Only a subset are available to different
so
orgs.
So you can limit even the service broker usage based on this org and spaces.
Exactly. So if I say, I don't trust Corey's org with SQL.
No, like nor would I. Nor would I.
You know, exactly. Mm-hmm. Then I would, you know, maybe not that make that available.
Yeah.
Whereas to another org
looks
that
like
I trust
you've
more.
Given limited to me.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
We'll get you started. Something small. See how it goes.
That's nice to have. Yeah. Yeah, keep a close eye.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of the admin view. Now, if I go into what you might think of as like a developer view or somebody inside of an individual organization, I can do CF Marketplace. And see, this is the view within that organization that has been scoped down to only what I can
see. Now you will only see the things that then have been marked in the previous one as Sean or
as the demo.
As the demo.
Exactly.
I see. So you'll look at this. I see. So then a subset of those.
Exactly.
Okay.
So like Service Bus, for example, is not there
because it hasn't been offered by the admin.
That's right.
So then this effectively allows you to give full access to your teams based on this Cloud Foundry support, and then lock down services that you may not want, or you have just not validated, are safe or secure, or meet your, you know, compliance standards or what have you.
Yep, exactly.
Cool.
Right. Yep. Okay. So with that as background, let's go and actually add one of these guys. So I can do here again, starting with the CF command line. I'll do CF create service. I give it the name of the service here. So I'm going to do Redis Cache. Then I choose the plan, so I'm going to use the basic one, try to save you a few dollars.
I appreciate that.
And then provide it a name, so let's say Tuesdays with Corey. And then I provided a config file, which is basically the configuration that's necessary to set up that particular service.
Yeah,
so in this case, there's a few different properties you need to set up a Redis cache. And so that's going to spin up a service instance. Which if we jump back over to our Azure portal here, I've got one that I've created earlier, and then we should see another one spinning up.
Corey.
And so that's going to take a few minutes to spin up.
Sure.
So we'll do the standard kind of cook and show technique and use one that we've created earlier
to
actually bind to the application. And so here I've got a simple node application. And what this is doing, this is where it kind of gets interesting. So there, I've created a service inside of Azure.
Yes.
But now, obviously, there's some properties I need to get back into my application to actually connect to that
thing. To be able to connect to it.
What is the name of it?
Yes,
what are
the
credentials to actually?
But you'd prefer not go into your code and go make those edits,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we don't want to put that stuff in the code, right? And so here's my application. And what it's doing is picking up the necessary properties mm-hmm. in order to connect to mm-hmm. that Redis cache instance from an environment variable that is going to be bound into that application when I push it into Cloud Foundry.
Right.
So let's look at how that works. So if we look at the manifest for this app, which is quite simple. So this is a Cloud Foundry construct, is the notion of a manifest that describes the memory usage that's required, kind of what the application invocation looks like. And then you can add in services here that you want to bind into that application.
Got it.
And those will be picked up when I go and push it. So
Got
let's
it.
Push it. And you'll
Redis
see it
Demo
here.
3, that was the name of the... That was the name of the service.
The name of the service that I had created earlier, right?
Got it.
And so you'll see as part of this pushing the application, it's actually doing a bind.
Right.
To.
And this is where basically the special code comes in and does all the connection strings and blah, blah, blah.
Takes all of the properties that are necessary, pumps them in through an environment variable so that they can be picked up at runtime. And so that's finished staging now. It's going to go and find somewhere to run that application inside of the Cloud Foundry installation.
Got it. It's going to take a couple seconds here
just
to do that.
Just a couple seconds.
Just
there we go.
Show some patience, Rick. Jeez.
So once again, it's created an endpoint for us to target. You can see my awesome UI skills.
This is really a nice app.
Pretty nice, right?
That's a very nice app.
I've really CSS'd
it up. I can really tell you spent a lot of time on this, on preparing for this show.
I have, yes.
Yes.
I like to kind of match it to the overall quality.
Of the show.
I don't want to you know, overstep.
I see.
So if I create,
that's quite pleasant.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Here. Well, I'll do name value pair of Corey.
I can't do this.
Corey and Awesome is my name value pair to put into my Redis cache.
You're making it up for it.
And then I can go and, again, pretty awesome app here. I can pull it back.
And it found it.
Yep,
it found
exactly.
It in the Redis cache.
And that's pulling it,
that's
from,
pulling it
the Redis
from the
cache
storage thing running. That you changed no code to go do. All you did was put it as part of your manifest when deploying.
Yep.
And that basically the service broker did the rest.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yep. And so just to give people an idea of how they can get started with this, we have Cloud Foundry, Pivotal Cloud Foundry available with a one-click deploy from the Azure Marketplace.
It's like magic.
It is like magic. So that'll spin up an environment for you to get started.
And then some of these samples they could go find, or they link out even directly here. Do they link out here? Oh, they got some stuff down here. So you can get started with some of these samples and just get going.
Yep. And all of this, I mean, if you find anything to do with Cloud Foundry on the web, it'll run on top of Pivotal Cloud Foundry, on top of Azure.
Yeah. So. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, Sean, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
And thank you for showing us this magical world of Cloud Foundry and Pivotal.
All right.
And thank you so much for joining us. If you've got questions about Pivotal, about Cloud Foundry, about Sean, whatever you want to ask, you can ask us. It's hashtag AzureTWC. And do you want to put your Twitter handle here? You want us to add it, or do you not have one?
I do. I do have one.
Okay.
Probably we just add it afterwards.
Oh, cool. We'll add it after.
Yeah.
I got to stop asking people that question. This is a good learning for me. Anything else, Sean?
I mean, there's a whole bunch more that
there's tons more we can talk about.
So we've done VSTS integration for Cloud Foundry, operations management suite.
Wow. We're gonna make a commitment now. You're gonna come back. We're gonna do a second show. We'll cover VSTS, CI/CD stuff. We'll cover management, OMS, maybe some other service brokers. Who knows?
Yeah.
I can't predict everything fun we're gonna do, but we'll do a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Sounds
Thank
good.
You again. Have a happy Tuesday.
Pushing a Java app, just kind of how simple that is.
You say Java different than I say Java.
Oh, okay, do we need to calibrate?
I think kind of.
Okay.
So you should say it like that. Just make
Java.
Java. It's all in the jaw.
Java. Pushing a Java app.
There you go. You're British.
All right.
You're very formal.
Scaling up. All right, are you ready? All right.
Can you give me a real clap?
All right. Okay, good.